hungry, and he got to remembering, man, even the servants are eating good right now, and I'm out here eating this trash, feeding pigs, eating trash. He got to remembering that, man, there's something I'm missing out on that I used to be a part of. And that's my prayer tonight. There's a lot of people in our city that have been in the Father's house. We've got a lot of people miss MIAs. And as we get ready to start this service, let's lift all those MIAs out there that have once been in the house of the Father, in the Father's house. Let's lift them up tonight, that God would just put that hook back in their jaw and start pulling them back in. Because he can do it. He done it for me. Praise God. I'm so thankful. Praise God that I remembered that there was food. Praise God. There's food in the Father's house. And that's where we're at tonight. Praise God. It's so good to be here tonight. I'm going to go ahead and knock some announcements out real quick. Tomorrow evening, May 21st, 6 p.m., there's going to be Ladies United Fellowship. Sister Jenna Davis will be speaking, and they're going to be meeting downtown at the square. Bring a chair and your own food. Stay alert. If it's raining, they're going to move it to the FLC foyer if it gets to be too bad out there as far as the weather. Also, June wedding, we have Jessica Martinez and Blake Edwards. They're going to be getting married in June, and there's a table set up for us to show our love and support for the soon-to-be-married couple out there in the foyer. So drop a card or a gift, and they will certainly appreciate that getting started. All right, Sunday, May 24th, is going to be Pentecost Sunday Memorial Day service, a.m. only. This coming Sunday, Pentecost Sunday? Wow, man, that's awesome. Pentecost Sunday. We're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday and have a Memorial Day service this coming Sunday morning. Of course, May 25th, Monday, will be Memorial Day. Thursday, June 4th, we have the 903 Sunset Outreach event. We're going to hand out free waters and Church Connect cards. That's coming up on Thursday, June the 4th. Need volunteers, and sign up through the My Church app, or there's also a sign-up sheet around that curve there on the little board there. You can sign up there also. Praise God. All right. Well, let's stand. It's Wednesday night, but we can stand tonight, can't we? And get ready to let's get this airplane out there on the runway. Praise God. As we open up in prayer and get ready to worship the Lord here and get ready for the word. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your touch in the house tonight, Lord, as we get ready, Lord, to have a service, God. We're not just come here to, Lord, and just meet here tonight. Lord, we come to meet with you, Lord, to experience, hallelujah, Pentecost in our hearts tonight. Lord, we pray for all the backsliders in this city tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would draw them, Lord, and bring them back to your house, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that their hunger would begin to rise up in them, Lord, and they will remember that there's food here at the Father's house. And Lord, we're just so thankful tonight. Lord, we just pray your blessing on this service. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise. Let's give the Lord a hand clap praise tonight. God is so good. Hallelujah. We're going to ask our praise team to come and lead us in worship tonight. Praise God.
Together, worthy, all together, wonderful.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He's altogether lovely tonight. Praise God. We're going to ask our ushers to come and receive our evening tithes and offering tonight. Praise God. God is so good. Let's remember tonight those on our prayer list as we get ready to receive our offering. Let's bring their names up before the Lord tonight. If you've got a special unspoken, just make it known by the lifting of your hand tonight. God knows every need in the house. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to give into your kingdom. Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, for everyone on our list tonight, God, that needs a healing touch in their body. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd reach down and touch them, God, and give them strength, give them the healing that they need, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor tonight. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Time to preach about tonight. My wife get mad at me, but heaven's not going to be just church service. Heaven's going to be, I'm telling you, when I say get mad, I mean she ain't mad about heaven, but sometimes I bore her with my Bible studies. But I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a place we all want to be one day. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be out of this world. Man, won't we have a time? Woo! You talk about singing, you talk about shouting. Man, God have mercy. Anybody want to go there? Amen. Amen. My, 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 my. And I really do encourage you, if you ever get a chance, you need to do a deep dive study on what heaven really is. And it'll give you even a more expectancy and a more hunger. Some folks are afraid of dying because they're afraid of it's going to be a 365 million year church service. It ain't going to be that. I'm telling you, you just study it out. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. We're going to worship the Lord. It's going to be awesome, but it's going to be powerful. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Thanks for coming to church on a Wednesday night. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. We've preached from it 1,000 times. You've heard it preached 1,000 times. I'm going to preach 1,001. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, we could preach this about living right and doing right. And the first bit of this message talks a little bit about that. But I really want to focus on that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. The Bible says that if you'll hunger, if you'll thirst, there is a promise. God never, I never will forget. And this is kind of random here, but just came to me. Never will forget years ago something that happened in my life. And I never forget my dad saying something to me one night or one morning. He called me early, about 5:30. And he said, son, he said, remember this. God will never leave you hanging. God doesn't tell you something and then leave you to guess what he's going to do next. God always gives you the completion of the promise. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they will be, they shall be filled. God always gives you the completion of what's going to happen here, all right? So if you'll hunger, if you'll thirst after God, after his righteousness, you will be filled. This message title will not make sense to the end of this message, but I want to preach to us tonight on simply Eliana Revival. Eliana Revival. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I ask you to bless us, speak to us, God. Talk to us tonight. Help us, Holy Ghost, to hear your word, God, to understand what you're saying, what you're doing among us. God, your word's already anointed. Thank you for revival that's above us, that's beyond us, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Everybody said thank God for Dairy Queen. They may have that in heaven too. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. There's nothing like being really hungry. Now, I listen to this. I have a weird brain, so my brain goes all kinds of places sometimes when I'm preaching. I have this Bible app, and I don't know who the brother is that's reading this Bible app to us, but I love him, because when he says the word hungry, he don't say hungry, he says hungry. And I thought, man, that's now you hungry if you hungry, man. Yeah, you really want something to eat. Anyone say hungry when you say, anybody know someone that says hungry? And nothing like being really hungry, however you say it in your world. Hunger will make people do crazy things, especially on a serious note if they have children to feed. People will fight. They'll steal. They'll even kill if need be just to get what the body is craving. The reason they do this is because the body is needing, it's desiring, it's hungering after nutrients that keeps it functioning. Hunger is a real problem. You know this. A quick Google search will tell you this. Hunger is a real problem in our world today, not just in a world around us, but in the United States of America. Hunger is a real problem. According to an article I read some years ago, I just moved my notes out. Give me one second. I'm sorry. According to an article I read some years ago, there are on average 750 million people who go hungry every single night. Of those 750 million in the world, around 200 million of those people are children. When somebody is really hungry, they'll dig through trash cans. When somebody's really hungry, they'll beg for anything just to get food in their bodies. And then there are people who aren't necessarily starving to death from a lack of food, but there are people, and perhaps this may be you tonight, and it's okay if it is, there are people who consume tons of junk food. Anybody besides me like junk food? Amen. I love junk food. Amen. But as a result of this, when I eat too much junk food, I always feel bad in my body throughout the day. And if a person eats tons of sweets, if they eat tons of food that has tons of calories and carbohydrates and whatever else, and fatty foods, high in sodium foods, as a result, they may be feeding their hunger, but they'll also be hurting their body by what they are ingesting on a daily basis. And we know as a result of this, again, I've never studied to be a nurse or a doctor, but we know if you keep on putting bad stuff in your body, potentially, high blood pressure comes, diabetes comes, clogged arteries come, and you run the risk of doing more damage to the body by what you ingest. And in the church today at large, if we are not careful, we too, I think you'd agree with this. I've talked about this here a couple weeks ago, and I'll go through it pretty fast tonight. But if we're not careful, we can, even as born-again believers, become hungry for the wrong things. We can have a hunger, but instead of reaching out to the world or becoming consumed with our relationship with the Lord, if we're not careful, we can feed on things such as negativity or disunity, whatever you want to call it. We have a tendency as human beings, as carnal natured beings, if we're not led by the Spirit, we can begin to feed on things that will feed the body. It just feeds the wrong part of the body. I think it's vital we understand, I think you'd agree with this tonight, I wish everybody was here to hear this, but I think it's important we understand that we are all on the same team. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 12, Jesus speaking, Matthew 12, 25, Jesus, he knew their thoughts. He said to them, every kingdom that's divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or every house, notice how he does this here. He does it in a progression. He said there's kingdoms, and then there are cities, and then there's even on to your own house. If it's divided, can't stand. Hear me when I say tonight, again, this isn't my message, but just hear me tonight. We are not in competition with one another. Amen. We have one go in this house, and that is seeing somebody else obey the gospel message of repenting of their sins, being buried in the lovely name of Jesus, and receiving the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence, speaking in tongues. That is what this church's goal is. Every time we come in the doors, I understand God feeds us, God talks to us, God gives us encouragement, God gives us strength, but the greatest miracle we'll ever see is somebody else being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And if that's not what we are hungry for, then if we're not careful, we're going to damage, or we can begin to damage the body of Christ. I think you'd agree that we cannot afford to be a church that is hungering after carnal things or worldly things. This world, I know you agree with this, and I know I've preached it before, but just hear me tonight. This world has nothing to offer you and I but temporary happiness. Man, it does not last. It will not sustain us in times of need. I encourage you tonight, do not seek your joy from the world. It will always leave you empty. Now, I'm preaching right now, and when I preach, I hope you understand this. I preach to me every time I get in this pulpit, all right? So when I'm preaching a message, you're thinking, man, pastor's just trying to get all over us. No, I ain't. I'm preaching to B-R-A-D, amen? So it's not just Y-O-U, it's me, all right? But I believe it's vital. I believe it's important tonight that, and the reason I say I wish everyone was here, I'd love all leaders to hear this message tonight, and this applies to every saint, but I believe personally, anyone who ever serves in the body of Christ, that we cannot afford to be people that get attached to things that drain our spirits on a regular basis. I think All of us go through seasons to where we find ourselves in a spiritual slump. Anybody ever been in a spiritual slump before where you feel like, man, I'm just in a rut? That's normal. It's life, okay? We have jobs happen, work happens, family problems happen. We get all of that. But we cannot afford to allow the world, carnal things of this world, I don't care what it is, things we watch, things we do, whatever, we can't allow these things on a continual basis to begin to drain our spirits. Now, I'm talking to leaders and saints, but we cannot know about more who's doing what, who's on what show, who's on what team, than we do about the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, hear what I'm about to say, and I'm not saying this to be rude or condescending, but if I'm not praying before I get in the pulpit, I probably shouldn't be in the pulpit. Amen. You don't want a prayerless preacher in the pulpit, because prayerless preachers who get in the pulpit say some stupid stuff. Even prayerful ones sometimes will say some dumb stuff. Amen. But you really want someone who prays before they get in behind the pulpit and preaches the word. And you really want somebody, if you're a teacher in a Sunday school, you really want to make sure we're praying before we teach a kid a Bible lesson. Well, it's just a 7-year-old. I know it's just a 7-year-old, but you don't know what God's going to do in that 7-year-old's life in about 10 years from now. So it's vital that as a leader, that I don't care how old they are, how young they are. It doesn't matter who they are. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're involved in youth, if you're on advisory board in this church, if you sing, it's vital we don't get up here and we lead others. It's vital we don't lead the body of Christ if we're not praying, if we're not careful. Our position can become our mission, and our position was never about our mission. Our mission was about a man named Jesus who came, he lived, and he died. And if we ever get to a place, you hear me right now, if we ever get to a place to where our position becomes our mission, if we're not careful, the best thing for me to do is just step aside and let somebody who's consumed with the mission take my spot. I'm not interested in people who got great positions. I'm interested in people who know how to get in a prayer position and get a hold of God on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Come on, somebody. We need a church that understands the value of what the real mission is. Amen. I know that's a little bit of tough talk, but we have to make sure that our mission is seeing lives changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray, forgive me if I ever let carnal desires, carnal appetites begin to consume spiritual appetites. I know I hit on this some weeks ago, but you hear what I'm telling you. None of us are perfect. I'm not preaching to perfect people. You won't be perfect until you hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're all striving to be more like Christ. I get all of that tonight. I'm not trying to make you something that you're not, but I am telling you, it is the will of God in 2026 like never before that we get back spiritual appetites, that we somehow get delivered of so much carnality and so much flesh. The reason why sometimes it's like trying to go through a Mount Everest when you're trying to have a service. The reason why sometimes it's hard for you to even get an own breakthrough in your life is because there's so much noise, there's so much stuff, there's so much appetites that you're feeding that are not spiritual. And the Lord is serious about the body of Christ getting back a spiritual appetite for what he's hungry for what he's thirsty for. We have got to be a body. We've got to be a church who understands the fact value of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after spiritual things, after holy things. Did you know we're going to a holy city? Did you know we serve a holy God? Did you know we serve a God who said nothing can enter that city that even resembles the world? I challenge you tonight, born again believers. I challenge you tonight, every leader, get rid of carnal desires. Get rid of carnal appetites and fall in love with spiritual appetites again. Amen. God help me as a pastor have an appetite that's in the right place. Amen. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays when I'm preaching to you. Amen. But I want to be hungry for God in the morning. I want to be hungry for God in the middle of the night. I want to be thirsty for God on Saturday. I want to make sure when I finish preaching on Sunday, if you're not careful, that's the greatest time for a preacher, for his guard to be let down, because you let yourself release that day. God, help me on Sunday afternoon to know what it is to find a place of prayer and say, "God, fill me back up. I got to make sure my life's right, my spirit's right, my soul's right. God, help me as a teacher. Help me as a leader. Help me as somebody who leads this church as an advisory board member. help me as somebody in this house who leads a service to be someone who knows what it is to walk in the Holy Ghost, not just when I'm in some meeting somewhere trying to make sure my demeanor or this persona I'm trying to put off pleases everybody. I'm not worried about that, but by God, I pray at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning the Holy Ghost can wake you up and say, I need you for 30 minutes right now. I need you right. God have mercy. I need you to intercede on behalf. That's what we need in this house. We need spiritual appetites to fall back in love with Jesus. It don't take a prophet to know this. Revival don't just fall out the sky. I mean, I don't care how many promises you got from the Lord. Hello? I never forget, Brother Lester, some 14 years ago, I can take you to where I was standing in Jasper, Texas. The preacher's name was Brother Jonathan Moore. I can take you to where I was at when he gave me this word. The Lord said, thus and thus, and thus and thus. And I thought, man, it's mine. God said it. I got home, and a good friend of mine called me and said, there, God. He said, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, tell you, he wants to do it for you, but you got to be proactive about it. What am I saying? The Lord can speak all day long. He's going to send a harvest. He's going to send fire. He's going to send revival. But the church cannot get caught up in this complacent trap that says, I'll just wait on the Lord. That's the curse of Pentecost. Some folks been waiting until they're 90 years old and they're sliding for home. And the Lord said, no, when I told you I'll send the rain, I expect you to go plant some seed. I expect you to be a body who knows what it is to be proactive. Man, no matter how many promises you got, if our appetites are somewhere else, it won't ever happen. And I've seen it. I've done it because Brad is guilty, right? Remember, I'm preaching to me tonight. Not even preaching to you. Isn't that crazy? I've been guilty. We've all been guilty on blaming everything but me. Yeah. Amen. If we're not careful, if I miss it, I can miss it. I'm the problem. I'm the one that refused to pray. I'm the one that refused to reach. I'm the one that refused to get in this word on a daily basis. I'm the one who refused to fast like I should. I'm the one who refused to live a life of consecration. I live my entire life on the line of how far can I get away and how close can I get to the world and still be saved. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to give you a word you maybe never heard before. You will not be saved by trying to do the bare minimum. God is not interested in people serving him just to see how much can I get by with. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like backsliding. God's not interested in a backsliding church. He wants people doing their dead level best to get as close as they can to the throne room of God every single day. God, draw me, help me, God, get close to you, Lord. Notice what Jesus said in the parable. Gave one 5 talents, gave one 2 talents, gave another 1 talent. And notice he was pleased. You've heard it preached. He was pleased with the 2 who got busy doing something with what they had. But it was the one who got the promise. It was the one who was promised, I'm going to do A, B, and C in your life. I'm going to do all these great things in your life. And instead of doing anything with it, he just sat on it. He just dug a hole in the ground. He buried what he had. And God was so displeased with that man, so displeased. And this verse has always wrecked me, and I don't have time to preach it tonight, that God is so serious about you using the talents he gave you. He didn't ask you, could you sing like so-and-so? Could you lead like so-and-so? Could you do this? Like, no, he never asked you that. Could you preach like them? Could you? No, he didn't ask those questions. He just asked, what's that in your hand? What have I given you? And if I've given you something, God is so serious about you using your talents that to him, it's a heaven-hell issue, because the Bible said the man who didn't use what God gave him, he commanded him to be thrown into outer darkness. What I'm telling you is this, is God doesn't just give you something and then walk off and leave you and expect it to come to pass by itself. No, he expects you to water that thing. He expects you to plant more seed over and over. What are you doing? You're trying your best to get as close and as near as you can to the Lord. God, help me tonight not to be a preacher, not to be a Christian, not to be a saint who's just arguing with you about what's not fair, what's not right. I wish I had. No. Get rid of every one of your excuses and say, God, I'll use what I got. I'll plant the seed. If you'll water it, God, I'll plant the seed if you give the increase. Cravings. I saw an article on starvation, and it listed phases of starvation, and there were several phases that it listed tonight, and phase one and two, I can't really say I know a whole lot about, and as far as the medical terms, but if I understand correctly, during the first two phases, when a person is actually starving to death, your body lives on the fat reserves. It's living off yesterday's meals. It's living off, if you will, off yesterday's blessings. And then the third phase of starvation comes. And they say that the third phase of starvation starts when a person's fat reserves are depleted and there is a switch to proteins as the major source of the person's energy. Muscles, the largest source of protein in the body, are quickly depleted. And at the end of this phase, proteins essential for cellular functions are broken down and cell function begins to degenerate. And along with a weight loss, symptoms of starvation include psychological effects such as apathy. When people are really starving to death, they say apathy comes. Starvation forces the brain to conserve energy by blunting emotions and motivation. Apathy, we know, simply means a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm or concern. Starvation, when someone is starving to death, you've seen pictures in foreign countries when people are starving to death, they begin to withdraw themselves. Individuals who are starving socially isolate themselves and they obsess almost exclusively over food. People who are starving to death, they say, become very lethargic. As you can imagine, severe lack of energy causes extreme physical and mental fatigue. Having or showing little to no interest in anything, the body is completely drained of life, heavy, and it has zero energy left. And then starvation causes increased susceptibility to disease. The immune system crashes because the body is weak. It cannot fight off germs. The person rarely dies of hunger itself, they say. It's common that a common infection most times takes out the individual who is starving to death. Please hear me tonight, church, before I get to the crux of this message. When you are starving to death spiritually, just like natural starvation that causes apathy, withdrawal, being lethargic, and increased susceptibility for diseases, it's the same in the spirit. Some of the signs that you know I may be starving to death spiritually is spiritual apathy. What does that look like? It's a total loss of enthusiasm for the things of God. We're reading the scriptures, we're praying, we're attending church. Feels like a chore or matters very little. You no longer care if you grow. You become completely unconcerned regarding sin, and hearing the word no longer convicts you, no longer moves your emotions. Jesus said, I know your works in Revelations 3, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Amos spoke to them and said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. After spiritual apathy, when you're dying of spiritual starvation, you begin to spiritually withdraw. You pull away from the body of Christ. You stop attending church. You avoid godly friendships. You reject accountability and you isolate yourself in darkness. That's why it's so important, Hebrews said, we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even as some was in that day, as you see the day approaching. A person who's starving to death spiritually will become spiritually lethargic. You have no life. You have no fire. You have no drive left in your spirit. You might know you need to pray or read the word, but you feel too exhausted to pray. You feel too dry to pray. You feel too heavy to actually do what you know you need to do. I've been there. I know that for sure. Proverbs 19:15, it's speaking in the natural world, but it applies in the spirit world. Laziness cast one into a deep sleep, and an idle soul will suffer hunger. And as a result of starving to death spiritually, you become susceptible to spiritual diseases before you actually starve to death. Your spiritual immune system is completely wiped out because you're empty. You cannot fight temptation. Deadly spiritual diseases like bitterness and pride and false doctrine most times take people out before they even realize that they're dying. In Galatians 6, Paul said in verse 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he sows to his flesh. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. If a person does not catch an infectious disease first, they die directly from total organ failure, from total system collapse. The body, they say, literally consumes itself until nothing is left to keep the heart beating." And as I studied for this word, it continued in the spirit. If a starving person doesn't get taken out by a spiritual disease like bitterness or pride or hate or false doctrine, they experience total spiritual collapse and they simply die and fade away. This is the death of the conscience. The heart of your faith stops beating. You reach a point of absolute coldness where the Holy Ghost, even when it tries to convict you, you feel absolutely nothing. There is no pulse of conviction left in your soul. Jesus told him, "Listen, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive." He said, "But you are dead." He said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." You hear me today, folks? So more people in the church die from spiritual diseases before they actually die spiritually. Why is that, preacher? It's because your adversary, the devil, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He goes about like a roaring lion looking for people who are dying spiritually to death, and he does everything he can to insert infection after infection after infection. And instead of coming to church and being liberated, people come to church bound, and they leave more angry when they see so and so across the house of God. You hear this, preacher, today? You best get a hold of that right now. The devil is serious about taking you and your family out. I remind you, before I came over tonight, felt like the Lord dropped this on me. Never forget, Samson is more than a Sunday school story. Amen. Kids can tell you more about Samson than adults can tell you about Samson. He's a strong man. He's a bad dude. He did all kinds of crazy stuff. But you got to remember, he was a grown man when he got taken out. The Bible says for 20 years he judged Israel. If you study Old Testament history, most men weren't fit for military duty until they were around 20 years old. So for 20 years, that puts old Samson about 38 to 45, they say, when he finally fell to sin and he finally gave in. What I'm saying is this: you better be careful and stop letting the adversary tell you things like, "Oh, I can handle that. I can take that. It's just one click at 2 in the morning. It's just a little bit of a sight. It's just a little bit of a sin. I can handle flirting with her. God help me tonight. I can handle flirting with him." Don't you know, preacher, it doesn't mean nothing. I can talk. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody hear me right now. I can talk to him in private and nobody will know. You hear this, preacher? What's done in secret, the Bible says, it will be revealed in public. You best make sure you're watching yourself, Samson. You best make sure you're watching where you're going, Samson. He didn't lose strength overnight. He repeatedly broke Nazarite vows. He kept on touching dead carcasses. He kept on feasting. He kept on following his own lust rather than God's calling. He lacked discernment. That's how crazy you get when you start starving to death. He confused God's patience with God's approval. You don't confuse the patience of God as though somehow God approves you. Now, forget years ago, a preacher told me, he said, son, don't you ever get deceived by thinking just because you're being blessed, just because you're being well, means you're right with God. He said, no, sir, buddy. That doesn't mean you can be blessed and have all kinds of stuff and still be wrong. It's not about what you got. It's about being right with the Lord. It's about being right according to his word, not according to what you see, according to what you feel. And Samson confused it because the reason why is his strength was still there. He thought, man, I must be doing something right. I can still do what I want to do on weekends. I can act a fool. I can act like a sinner. And I can still get up and feel his power and feel his presence. But the problem was, he had a divided heart. His real weakness wasn't Delilah, but it was a life that relied on divine gifts while neglecting a divine relationship. You hear this, preacher, tonight. We can't afford to be a people who have our vision taken from our eyes, because we're starving to death with spiritual apathy and laziness and being lethargic. God, help us tonight to get fresh vision, fresh fire, fresh anointing. I read a post that said Samson became spiritually blind long before the Philistines gouged his eyes out. His obsession with physical attraction consistently overrode his devotion to God's mission. This isn't just talking about worldly, sensual lust, but it's anything that erodes my walk with the Lord. I want to say it again. Samson is not a Sunday school story, really. It's made for grown adults to realize this boy was in the prime of his life when all hell broke loose. This boy had it, quote unquote, all going. He was the head knocker. He was the main man. He was the main guy. He couldn't do wrong, they thought. Problem was, Samson was great at putting on a public persona, but in private, he was very divided. God help me tonight. Hear me, someone, please. I'm fixing to get to her, I promise. It is the will of God for us to be a church that understands, again, that revival doesn't just fall out of the sky while we are prayerless, while we never study, we never attend the house of God, we never reach for anybody. That is not how revival comes. Now, I know revival is two ways. A real revival is the church being revived. And really, when we say revival, we mean a harvest of souls. I get all that. But you hear me, neither can really happen if we're lazy in spirit, if we're just going through the motions. God wants, hear me tonight, please. He wants this church to starve after heavenly appetites. He's not interested in what you got. And as a matter of fact, I feel this. He doesn't even care how many excuses you give him as to why you deserve this carnal appetite. That may not be sin, but it just keeps on eroding away at your walk with the Lord. God. Everybody said Leanna. Let me preach on Leanna right quick. 7 years ago, I was in Sour Lake, Texas. Small community about 18 miles from Beaumont. And there's a Dairy Queen there. And I drove through. I went to the drive-thru that day at Dairy Queen on a Sunday afternoon, if I remember correctly. And as I was in the drive-thru, there was this fella behind me. And I didn't know why at the time, but I felt prompted to pay for this dude's meal. And I thought I was just doing a good deed. Not to lift me up. I thought, well, maybe he needs some help. I didn't know. And when I paid for it, I said, hey, I told this girl, Leanna, I didn't know who she was at first. I said, hey, I said, if you would, I want to pay for this guy's meal in the behind me. And when I did, she, like, I'm not talking about kind of excited. Like, you ever met people and you're like, man, they real excited people. And she was excited. And she said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, I am. She said, would you pray for me right now? I said, all right. And this is what got me with the car. I about jumped out of my car and drove 100 miles an hour back to DayZeta. She said, I'm teaching my very first home Bible study tonight. Woo. Hear me. We got traffic backed up. And this little girl, I didn't know what I was doing, Sister Christiana. I just paid for some dude's meal. But the Holy Ghost said, hey, sucker, I'm trying to get your attention on something. There's a girl in line who's overzealous about me and my kingdom. And she said, would you mind stopping what you're doing? So right there at Dairy Queen, God bless the queen. Amen. Right there at Dairy Queen, we laid hands on this young girl. I've never seen her again since. But when I got back to Day's Edda, I made sure the first message I preached that next Sunday was, we best be a Leanna Revival Church, because if not, God forgive us. He called this body to move from starvation to overflow in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling this church, as long as God lets me pastor here, we will be a Leanna Revival Church. And every time I go somewhere, I can't wait to show somebody else about a man called Jesus. So I'll praise him right now. You know what we need? I'm preaching to me now. I'm not preaching to you. But you know what I need? I need real burden. I need real zeal. I need real excitement over the prospect. Over the prospect of teaching just a home Bible study. That's kind of wild. Like, man, doesn't she know that's so natural? That's so old. She wasn't even teaching on salvation. She said, preacher, our first Bible study is on Isaiah 53. That's a pretty good verse. I could preach that about salvation. He tells you, with his stripes we were healed. I could preach on Jesus and who he was from Isaiah 53. But she didn't know what she was talking about. She was just hungry. She was just thirsty. She was just desiring. And God, I'm telling you, God wants us. I don't have time to preach all this tonight. God wants us as an apostolic born-again church. I told an evangelist on the phone today. He's preaching this week in Phoenix, Arizona. He said, my God, man. He said, I preached last night to a bunch of new believers. He said, they acted like a fool. We had so much church and God moved. I said, God, forgive me. I'm talking to Brad. I've been raised 40 years just about in the apostolic church, and I know what it is. If the preaching ain't right, if the singing ain't right, I'll sit there and wait for another service. And the Lord said, hear me, son. It's not about another service. It's about right. Right now, what you got is today. You don't have tomorrow, but right now, while it's still day, go ahead and get excited about who I am, what I'm doing. Anybody ever met weird people? And this ain't my notes. You ever met weird people? Don't laugh until you may be weird when I say what I'm going to say. You ever met weird people that can only move on a certain song? Let me stop it right there. On a certain style, on a certain genre. God help them. They could never get out and worship on Elevation Worship because a bunch of kids, they look like a fool and they look stupid. But man, if we give me Vessel Goodman with a hair 7 foot high and all these things, man, we can have a move of God around here. No, you missed the point. A Leanna Revival, it don't matter who or what is being sung. I didn't come. I don't care if it's Elevation Worship, Forrest Frank, Kirk Franklin. I could care less. If they lift up the king, that's all that matters. Uh-oh. I feel it. Hear me, somebody, right now. Praise will infect you. And if praise ever gets on you, it's contagious. All of a sudden, if mama praises, the baby starts praising. If daddy worships, the baby. Why? Because praise. I would to God this house would get infected with praise and worship. We need a Leanna Revival to hit this house. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need a Leanna Revival to hit this body in the name of Jesus. Leanna, she didn't care if it was slow or fast for the Crawford. She didn't care if we were serving blizzards that day. Right, Sister Mal is pretty powerful. Blizzards or quarter pounders or chicken or steak fries. She didn't care what was on the menu. If you want it, we got it. I pastored people, and I'll just say in another church, who customized the buffet and said, if Pastor preaches on this tonight, good God Almighty, I'll get out and do something. If Sister Kelso would just shout one more time, I'll do something. You know what God's waiting for you to do? God's waiting for you to have your own Leanna revival. And when you do, it'll make somebody else have their own Leanna revival. We've got to get back to the roots of the church, and the roots of the church was born in an upper room in fire. And when I leave here, I plan on being on fire with the Leanna revival. Well, glory. I'm almost done. Thank God Leanna didn't tell me, because you didn't order what I thought you should have. I ain't letting you leave. Now maybe we should do that sometime. Maybe we should have locked the doors. I don't know. I ain't going to do that, I promise. I'm going to say something. I'm going to move on before I get in trouble. This, from about right here to that wall, is the praise pit for the Apostolic Church. I know it's Wednesday. I feel a crazy move on me right now. I know I am half crazy. Just pray for me. But Wednesday night, I don't care if it's Wednesday, I don't care if it's Sunday, this is a reserved spot for worshipers, for praises. Well, you don't understand. My personality doesn't let me do. And my spirit is just calm and collect. I know it is, but when you held your grandbaby for the first time, you cried, you squealed, you posted pictures on Facebook, and for some reason, when I get in the house of God and I see what the Lord's done for me, for whatever reason, I cannot move. What's happened? I'm going to tell you what's happened to me. I'm starving spiritually to death, and the Lord wants the body to realize, wake up, you need a Leanna revival. Now, before you crucify me, I know coming in the front and worshiping and praising is not all there is living for God, okay? So you can all, thank God he's not, I am preaching to you, but thank God he's not making a prerequisite for the bride of Christ. But for all those who've ever said anything like, when I get there to that city called heaven, when I get there, my God, I'm going to praise until they kick me out. But yet, they ain't praised or worshiped God in 25 years. So I'm pacing fast. I'm trying. I don't want to look at you right now. Amen. God is serious. I'm telling you, it is the will of God. I'm going to say it. It is the will of God. Every Sunday, I'm going to preach it on Wednesday too. It's the will of God. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, the front of this house is designated for everybody who wants to worship, for everybody who wants to praise. Why, preacher, does it matter if we come to the front? Why can I worship in my pew? You can worship in your pew. I get all that, but there's something about when a church gets together and they step out in faith and say, we're going a step further. We'll be a worshiping church. I want every newcomer, every new believer to see this is what praise looks like. This is what worship looks like. I know it's not all in the dance. I know it's not all in the run. Don't misunderstand me today. But it's very important. God's very serious about us being a church. You may see it. God, help us to be a people that our faces light up at just the prospect of teaching a home Bible study, where we become consumed with apostolic passion and zeal for the lost. Paul was so consumed. He was so compassionate. He said in Romans 9:3, for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them.
I'm so consumed, the Apostle Paul said, with the thoughts of others being lost, that if it were possible, I'd be willing to be cursed and cut off from Christ if it might save them. I pray you hear me today. There's a scripture in the Bible. We preach a lot about it, but we never think about it. Years ago in Abilene, Texas, when it hit me, it really convicted me. The Bible said you should love your neighbor as yourself. That's a powerful verse. And I begin to think to myself, when's the last time I fell asleep worried about who lives across from me at 3575 Autobahn? When's the last time I walked into McAllister's and got my sweet tea and I wondered about my neighbor beside me? Jesus said, if you want to know what love looks like, love your neighbor like yourself. I'm serious about Brad Davis here in Christ. Say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And God help me tonight to be somebody who's just as serious about my neighbor here in Jesus. Say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's all stand. I don't have time to get everywhere tonight, but you hear me. Paul is writing to the entire church at Corinth, and he states this, and hear me, he ain't talking to preachers. He's talking to everybody, all right? And Paul says, now then, everyone said, that's me. Everyone said, we. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. We know that an ambassador for a government like the presidency or a king, he or she represent the king of a foreign government. And you and I, every believer who has ever been born again of water and spirit, you hold the office of ambassador for Jesus Christ the King. What that means is you are his representative here on earth. This verse messed with me. It's a shocker. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. The greatest good you'll ever possess this side of heaven is the ability to be able to share the gospel with somebody else. And if I keep it to Brad Davis, I'm acting in supreme selfishness and I'm doing my brother and sister a disservice. I'll never forget Brother Anthony Mangan saying years ago, what good is the gospel if it gets there too late? There's got to be a Leanna spirit. Get a hold of the United Pentecostal Church. Hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. Get delivered of the mindset that says, I've served God 50 years. I don't care how long you serve God. Get a first generation experience over in your heart again. I'd much rather offend you with the gospel than to answer to God as to why I didn't share with you the gospel. Paul said, I'm a debtor to both Greeks and barbarians. Paul felt he owed the gospel to everybody he met. So I end with this. How do I get it? How do I get that passion back? How do I get a burden back, preacher, for lost people? What do I do if I never had a burden? Number one thing I would tell you is remember your own deliverance. We lose passion the lost. It's possible to lose passion for the lost when you forget where it was that God brought you from. The Bible says, therefore, I say to you, Jesus speaking, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom, Jesus said, little is forgiven, the same loves little. The woman here is the lady with the alabaster box. She had immense passion because she never forgot the depth of her own filth and the size of God's mercy. And the Bible said because of what she did here, for the rest of time, it's going to be a memorial for others to see. That's the power
of remembering. You're not having to revel in the darkness, in the sin. No, no, no. But when people come in this house and they're steeped in sin, it's a good idea before they get here sometimes to remember the pit that God dug you out of, to remember the hell and the chaos that God set you free from, to remember that if it wasn't for God's good mercy and God's good grace, you'd probably be pushing up daisies somewhere about right now. But thanks be to God, He didn't leave me, the song said, the way that He found me. But He found me right on time. And He picked me up out of a horrible pit. He set my foot on a rock to stay. Another way you catch a Leanna revival, spirit of passion, is to spend time with the passion giver. You hear what I'm telling you? You can't hang around God and not care about lost people. So I felt it here. The reason why some people spend time with God and never have a passion for lost people is because they always tell God what they need, and they've never let God take care of some things in their life. And God, all God wants you to do is focus on Him. He already knows what you need before you ever ask Him. He did say bring your needs boldly before the throne of grace, but God is looking for a body who gets delivered of me and says, God, how can I pray today for the world? God, what's on your heart? When's the last time you asked the Lord, what's ailing you today, God? What's bothering you today, God? What's the burden? I'm going to tell you what He's going to tell you. Souls. It's not my will, Brad, that any perish, but all come to repentance. Anytime you ask the Creator, what's your burden? What's your passion? He'll tell you, my passion hung on a cross. My passion bled and died, and my passion got up on a third day, and on Sunday, I'll preach about it. My passion went to an upper room called Pentecost, and thanks be to God, I gave my passion to you, and I need you to spread the word. There's a Leanna revival happening here at my church. Let's all praise Him together. God, we love you. Come on, church. I pray, God, let a fresh burden hit this house. Come on, somebody. God, right now. Come on, somebody, pray right now in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, right now, a fresh passion. I pray right now, God, a fresh burden. I pray right now, God, a fresh hunger. Hit this body again in the name of Jesus. We need a Leanna revival. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. God, just restore. Restore a zeal in Brad Davis, Lord. Restore a passion in Brad Davis, God. Restore a hunger, oh God, in Brad Davis, God. Give me a Leanna revival in my own soul. Some of you know a guy who does that Jesus tent revival stuff. Brother Braden Anderson. Perhaps you've seen the news clip that's going around on Christian Broadcast News, CBN, about the Jesus Tent Revival. Anybody seen that? It's pretty powerful. If you ain't seen it, you need to watch it. If you hear the clip, what's amazing to me about that, I'm not saying God's telling us to do that, is that Dr. Anderson was on his own practice. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. His wife's an ER nurse, and they got a burden for souls. And he got rid of the practice. He got out of the business of being a physical doctor. And the guy said in the video, man, it takes a lot of gumption to leave. That's a very lucrative position to leave your medical doctor. And he said, every night when my wife and I go to bed, we don't talk about, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but in essence, we don't talk about the family practice anymore, about physical souls that God allowed us to heal through medicine. He said, but now, every night we go to bed, we get to talk about hundreds of people being baptized and spiritual souls being set free for all of it. That's a Leanna revival. That's what God wants to do. You may not be a Dr. Brayton Anderson, but you can be a great Jim Lester when the Holy Ghost moves on you with a Leanna revival and God gives you passion and zeal and fervor. God, we need it tonight. We need it tonight, God.
I close with this. Everybody said proactive. This church moves forward in the Holy Ghost when we become a proactive body. Am I right? Do you have Bible? Uh-huh. What did Paul say? Me and Apollos, what did we do? We planted. We watered. What, Brother Weiss? God gave the increase. What's he saying, Paris? We were proactive. We built it, if you will, and God brought them in. We did what we could, and God did the rest. Hear me right now. That's why I preach and I teach. They can argue with me. I'll take you the Bible. Let's have a Bible study, just not right now. That's why it is vital on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, that we create an apostolic Holy Ghost atmosphere, because it should be, before I ever preach, there's people in the pew getting the Holy Ghost. It should be, before I ever preach, we're baptizing them in Jesus' name. That is Aliana revival, and that will happen in this house in God's due season. Be proactive. God, I know I'm too long. Everyone say, just step out. You do me a favor before we leave, because your friend, oh, really, step out. Would you just step out in the aisle before you step out of the house? I just need you to do me one favor. Just take one step forward. That's all I'm asking you to do on Sunday. That's it. Now, I don't mean stay there. I mean come to the front. You got to come right now. I'm just saying. I'm trying. I want to tell you, it is vital. It is. Hear me, folks. You don't have to go. Some of you may run. Some of you may walk. I don't care what you do. But we're trying to create something. What I mean by creating is this, is that when worship and praise, study the Bible. Anytime praise and worship was there, God's glory always descended after the fact. It's not that God can't come before. He can. But he lives, the Bible said, in the praises of his people. He inhabits. It's not the will of God. I'm done. It ain't God's will for a preacher to preach for an hour and have a 3-minute altar call. It is the will of God for me to preach 10 minutes and have an hour altar call. That is the will of God in this house. We need a Leanna revival. So some of you who have talked and wondered which of us would be brave to go tell Pastor he preaches too long. I'm playing. But if you did, I'm going to tell you how you shut me down. Create atmospheres where the Holy Ghost has free reign. And a 20-minute sermon, I'm telling you, it is God's will to be baptizing folks for an hour solid. It is the will of God for people to get the Holy Ghost an hour and a half. And we ain't worried about Jack in the Box. We're worried and trying our best to get people in the house, in the church, in the main box, filled, saved, delivered, sanctified. It's going to happen in this house, but it's going to happen when you and I become proactive. I'm going to give you a lesson and we'll hush. Praisers and worshipers don't come to the front and do this. A real praiser, a real worshiper, ain't worried about who's standing beside them, who looks at their dress, who looks at their suit. I don't care what you got on. Just come up in this house and give God a Leanna revival, passionate, apostolic, Holy Ghost praise. If you'll do that, we'll see walls fall here. We'll see chains break here. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for this great church. God, I'm nobody without you, Lord. Help me, first of all, God, to become passionate, zealous about your kingdom, Lord. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that your spirit, God, would lead this house. God, we're serious about this thing called revival. We're serious about this thing called harvest and passion and zeal, God. I pray, God, put a burden on me, put a burden on these leaders, put a burden on these great saints of God. Let there be a Holy Ghost wave that hits this church. Don't let it last one service, but my God, let it last Monday through Sunday, God. We speak, God, Bible studies being taught here on a nightly basis. We speak baptisms happening here on a daily basis. We speak people being filled with the Holy Ghost
on a daily basis, God, we will be a church that has a Leanna revival in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to him right now.
We love you, God. We worship you, God. So when the other 85 folks show up on Sunday, you all be the first out. I felt the old wall. We love you. I mean that. You can do this thing, amen. Let's be a worshiping church, praising church. Pray for God to give you an apostolic burden. In Jesus' name. We love you. You're dismissed. We'll see you back here Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. Don't forget one service. See you then. Lord bless you.